everyone. This is Charles Gross from Two on the Isle, and I'm here with Dave Lefkowitz on Dave's Gone By, UNC Radio.
Here on the 12th annual Total Theater Tony Show on UNCRadio.com. You know, I think 12 years is a long time, and I've been doing my radio show, Dave's Gone By, for nearly 15 years at this point, but somebody's got me beat on that. An old friend, an old colleague, someone who's been doing his TV show on Manhattan Cable for almost 25 years. He's Charlie Gross. He is the founder and co-host of Two on the Isle. It airs every other Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time on MNN, that's Manhattan Neighborhood Network. You can watch it streaming live at MNN.org, or if you miss it, you can see the episodes posted on Dailymotion and YouTube. It's basically like Siskel and Ebert. They review the theater there with his co-host, Leslie Hoban Blake. She's also on this episode of the show. But Charlie is with us now to talk about the Tonys, talk about his particular category, and to tell us how he's doing. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing good, but actually Two on the Isle has been on the air for over 25 years.
More than 25, wow. I remember when you used to call yourself Cramden & Cutlass Productions.
Well, we still do, actually. That's the production company that produces it, because we used to shoot the show in Englewood, New Jersey, and I had to cram the whole crew and my co-host Jeff Goodman in my 79 Cutlass Supreme. We drive to Englewood. I think you were there for a couple of nights.
Oh, yeah.
And then Manhattan Neighborhood Network opened its studio, and we moved production there. Actually, we still use the Cutlass to get people home. Unfortunately, I no longer have the Cutlass.
Well, your parents have it, or who has it then, if it's not yours?
A garage attendant may or may not have it. He had to let her go a few years ago, and he's not returning my phone calls, so I don't know what my poor car's fate is right now.
And by the way, we are also kindred spirits in the sense that we've done solo performances, because I did The Miracle of Long John's this past year, both in New York and in Colorado. It was an autobiographical play of my own, and you did one. No, it's going back a few years, but you're trying to revive it at some point soon.
Yes, this was How I Found an Affordable Apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan Without Really Trying. And I will say the Cutlass, which was known as Kid, does figure greatly into this play. And actually, I'm trying to coax Leslie Hoban Blake out of directorial retirement to help me stage a new version. But I think she's ready. I'm ready. So we're hoping this may be the season we actually put it together.
Knock on wood.
And I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, but I have just started a new book.
A book?
About really an autobiography of my Cutlass's successor. And it is called Kim Gow, Car in the City, about a Toyota Avalon living in New York City, in Manhattan.
Well, let's drive forward into our categories, though, because really we're here to talk about Broadway. We're doing a little off Broadway stuff ourselves, for now, anyway. But we're critics and journalists and theater lovers, so we want to talk about Broadway and the Tonys this year, and your category is Best Revival of a Play, and the nominees are A View from the Bridge, the Arthur Miller play directed by Ivo van Hove, Blackbird by David Harrower, The Crucible, another Ivo van Hove staging of an Arthur Miller play, Long Day's Journey into Night, staged by Jonathan Kent, and another revival of Noises Off, that very popular farce by Michael Frayn. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Well, I am in a minority about two of these shows. A View from the Bridge. I hated it.
Hated it, you're saying? Wow.
The third time I've seen it on Broadway, by far the worst version as far as I was concerned. The constant music hanging over it drove me nuts. Why they needed to have a scene with two men changing clothes, I don't know, maybe that was to get the female and the gay audience in at the beginning, I don't know. And it totally did not work for me. As for The Crucible,
directed by the same guy, yeah.
Directed by the same guy. I like the production better. I actually like A View from the Bridge as a play better than The Crucible. In this case, I like the production better, but I still wasn't overly enamored with it. Agnes DeMille once said about Bob Fosse, he can be erotic without being sexy. This production of The Crucible was intense without being dramatic. So I know I'm in the minority, but I was very disappointed with both of these shows. So that leaves us Blackbird, Long Day's Journey into Night, and Noises Off.
Okay.
Three excellent excellent, excellent plays and three excellent, excellent productions. Of the three, if I were to choose who would win, I would say Blackbird. I don't see a real standout in this category. I think any of these productions could win. I would not want to see either of the Arthur Miller plays win. I think the best Arthur Miller play this season was Off-Broadway, Incident at Vichy, but that, of course, is not eligible for a Tony.
Right.
The show that I would actually like to see win is Noises Off.
Oh!
A sharp, excellent production of it. Megan Hilty is the standout. I hope she's recognized. Plays a dumb blonde who is playing an equally dumb blonde, and she just does it so perfectly. The only thing that I was slightly disappointed about with this production was Andrea Martin. Andrea Martin has just given such incredible performances recently on Broadway, both in Pippin and in Act One, and here she was average, adequate. I expected wonderful things from her in what is essentially the lead role in the play, and I think it's telling that she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress rather than Best Lead Actress in this production. But it's a comedy, and it's a very well-done comedy, and it's a physical comedy, very hard to stage, and I don't think comedy is appreciated as much as far as awards are concerned, either in the Tonys or the Oscars or any awards, so I would like to see a really excellent comedy given the award.
Do you think that'll happen? Because I think the horse race is going to be between View from the Bridge, which was seen by people who did like it as kind of a revelatory different staging, versus Long Day's Journey, which a lot of people see as a really terrific, intense version of that O'Neill play.
But traditional.
Yeah, very traditional, yes.
Certainly I would give it to Long Day's Journey over a View from the Bridge.
Right. But pick which they would choose.
I would say Long Day's Journey.
Okay.
I would not be surprised to see A View from the Bridge. I would not be surprised to see any one of these shows win. I don't think it'll be The Crucible. Blackbird, I think, is the show. If it didn't go to Noises Off, I'd want to see it go to Blackbird.
Oh, okay.
But that's a newer play, and these are classics, and people tend to favor the classics.
Let me ask you, Charlie, speaking of really good things, did you have a favorite play or musical, either on or off Broadway, this past season?
Yeah. This was the season of Arthur Miller and Bach and Harnack. Miller had they all had two plays on and one play off Broadway. Bach and Harnack had Fiddler on Broadway, and it had She Loves Me on Broadway. These are two incredibly wonderful, two of the best musicals ever written, and two of the best productions of them you will ever see. I especially would like to see She Loves Me win Best Revival. I don't think it will. But I think this is one of the most underappreciated works of theater ever written. Beautiful version. Really fabulous production. I highly, highly recommend it. In fact, I think the best musicals this year may well have been revivals. I mean, we've had some nice shows. We've, of course, had the phenomenon that is Hamilton.
Right. Did you find it phenomenal, since everybody's talking about Hamilton?
Well, What I find interesting about Hamilton is that people are talking as much about the show itself as they are the casting of the show, which, of course, was basically having Black and Hispanic actors playing people who were white.
Oh, okay.
And in a way, I found it a little disturbing because I was reading the New York Times critics' wrap-up of the year, and while they were praising this as a great innovation, they were at the same time saying, well, could we do an August Wilson play, you know, with a white cast? Or could we do Shuffle Along, let's say, with a white cast? And says, oh, no, we can't do that,
Well, people have been debating that for a while, when we've had all black casts in, like, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and, hey, The Gin Game this year as well was not written for black actors, yeah.
Right, and it worked perfectly good, and you had two wonderful actors doing it, James Earl Jones.
And Cicely Tyson, yeah.
Yeah, it worked beautifully. I mean, Gin Game is a play that needs good actors, because so-so play, but you know, you have two powerhouses like that, and they make it work. But if you are only doing this one way, then it's essentially bigotry, and it's racism, and it's wrong. And we have to say, are we looking to put the best actors in this role, or are we simply looking to be politically correct? And if it's the latter, I have a problem with that. And interestingly, so does Actors Equity, because when Hamilton basically put out a casting call and said no white actors need apply.
Ooh.
But he basically cited them for it, you know, saying that's against our rules.
People have been debating this for ages, way back when the original Miss Saigon you know, Miss Saigon is going to be revived this next season. But the original Miss Saigon cast, like, a white Londoner, Jonathan Pryce, as an engineer who's supposed to be Eurasian. And that was the beginning of the real hue and cry of why aren't non-white actors being cast, even in roles that were specific for them.
And that Equity threatened to close down the production, and Cameron McIntosh said, you either let me cast Jonathan Pryce, or I will not do the show. And Cameron, the producer, stuck to his guns, and to his credit, Equity backed down. And look at how racist that was. A character who's supposed to be Euro-Asian, so he could be played by a European or an Asian.
Or a mix of both, which eventually he was. But people like Francis Revivar. There's two sides to this, because they won the battle in a good way. They kind of lost the war. So, yes, the Equity backed down, and Jonathan Pryce got the role and won the Tony for Miss Saigon. Yeah. But he also told Broadway, hey, we can cast more actors of color, and we can open our minds to having all black casts of this, but it would be weird to see a Raisin in the Sun with an all-white cast. Or they could do it, but race would be the number one issue of everything, the colorblindness of it. It would be a statement on top of a statement.
And yet that's exactly what we're doing with Hamilton.
But I always say, you know what? If, let's say, they want to do Fiddler on the Roof somewhere in Zimbabwe, okay, some community theater wants to do, or regular theater there, wants to do Fiddler on the Roof, I don't expect the cast to be white and Jewish. It would be totally normal to see an all-black Christian cast doing Fiddler on the Roof in Zimbabwe, and I wouldn't stop it. It would be absolutely right.
Right. Would it be appropriate on Broadway?
If it was a great production, maybe.
All right.
I mean, we've had deaf people in a musical this year in Spring Awakening. How odd is that, you know?
Well, given how well it worked with Big River a few years ago...
Well, it was odder then, but it worked then, too.
Yeah, and I wasn't crazy about the original production of Spring Awakening. I actually liked this one better.
Me too.
And I do think it worked. And, you know, what I found interesting was it wasn't a deaf person performing while the talking person, you know, the voice person, was in the background. You had them both on stage and interacting, which I did feel added an interesting dimension to the play.
It was a beautiful directorial choice. It was also the first time in Broadway history that they had someone in a wheelchair, a character in a wheelchair, who was played by a person who actually is all the time in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Why not have more of that? You can probably do the Gin Game with two actors in a wheelchair. It wasn't written for them.
And it would work perfectly well because you have, you know, they're two elderly people, so it's not hard to assume that one of them could be in a wheelchair.
Right.
But here's the thing. We had Audra McDonald. You know, you asked, when we did the pre-interview, you said, was anyone egregiously overlooked? I don't think anyone was, but Audra McDonald, I think, should have been nominated this year for Shuffle Along.
Yeah.
I won't say she was egregiously overlooked, but I would say she was overlooked. But her first Tony was for playing Carrie in Carousel. Now, I saw that production, and I will say she was the best thing in that show. She was the best actress in that show. However, we both know that a snob like Mr. Snow, the man who her character is engaged to, would not have married a black woman back when that show takes place. So just as we suspend our imagination for that, we could, if we wanted to, suspend our imagination for a white Shuffle Along cast or white actors in Shuffle Along, or even in an August Wilson play. Although, ironically, August Wilson, if you had asked him about the casting in Hamilton, he probably would have said it's absurd.
That's absolutely right. And I guess my last statement on this is, the other side of it is watching Bright Star, musical by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell.
Just listening to their cast album.
It's a small white town with a lot of white people in it. It would have been nice if at least the orchestra had a couple of people of color in there. Everybody on that stage was white, and I was wondering why. It actually bothered me in 2016. So I think there's a couple of ways to go on this. I really do.
Yeah. Well, did it bother you that pretty much the whole cast of Fiddler was white, or the whole cast of She Loves Me was white?
Didn't occur to me. And I can see She Loves Me, but in Fiddler, didn't occur to me, but they probably could have had a black person in a smaller role, or if there were an actor of that stature to play Tevye, I think we would erase from our minds the obvious weirdness of it after the first 5 minutes and go with it. And say, oh, they're so famous, he can play Tevye or Zorba.
All right, but if Shuffle Along, If You Be Blake had been played by a white person, would you also be willing to erase the weirdness from it?
I would, but Spike Lee wouldn't. Let's put it that way. Hey, when I saw a funny thing happen on the way to the Forum many years ago, originally with Nathan Lane, and then he left, and I saw it about a year later with Whoopi Goldberg in a male Soulless role. She was so much funnier and better than he was, which was a shock.
Surprisingly, I agree with you. Yes, absolutely. She was.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be a perfect role for Nathan Lane.
But there you go. If I can go with a black woman as Soulless, and with all the crazy, sexy stuff that goes on in that show, well, why not have Anything Goes?
Absolutely.
I think I'm coming around to your way of thinking.
But it has to work in reverse. You have to be able to work it in reverse also. That's all I'm saying. Either cast it all the time with whoever the best actor is and forget about whether he or she looks right for the role.
Absolutely.
Look, I saw a revival of I Remember Mama, and every cast member was over 65 years old, including the one playing like a 5-year-old.
And half of them don't remember anything.
It didn't quite work, to be honest.
Yeah. And we've had all female Shakespeares. So, yeah.
And we've had all male Shakespeares,
too.
In fact, you know, originally we had all male Shakespeare. Ultimately, the director has to decide. The original production of Annie had no black orphans because when Annie takes place during the Depression, orphanages were segregated. Most subsequent productions have had interracial orphanage, and they'll say, all right, so it's not authentic, we don't care. And either version is valid.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Depending on the vision of the director and how they want to do that production.
I am absolutely down with that. And I guess you have swayed me in the past 10 minutes to come more to your side and to say a good production of an August Wilson play that happens to be mostly white
or Asian, let's say.
Or Asian, or Eskimo, or the Dion quintuplets playing 5 roles, you know?
Yeah, the example that you gave earlier, you know, in Zimbabwe is valid. But here we are in New York where we have a rainbow of performers.
Sure.
Like for this production of The King and I, Yul Brynner was not Asian. And even this production, we don't actually have a Siamese actor playing The King. Of course, we don't have an English actress playing Anna either.
True.
But we do have an Asian actor.
Close enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Charlie, this has been like tremendous fun and a great conversation, a conversation that will be carried along for months and years to come on and off Broadway. But I want to thank you very, very much once again for joining us. I want to remind everybody that Charlie is the co-host and the founder of the show Two on the Isle, which you can watch every other Thursday on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. You can stream it at MNN.org from anywhere in the world if you're not in New York. Or if you miss them, just go to YouTube or Daily Motion, and the videos are all posted there. Charlie, where are you going to be tomorrow?
Including our interview with you earlier this year.
Oh, that's right, for when I did Miracle of Long Johns.
The Miracle of Long Johns.
And did you ever do a review of my show, by the way, on...
Oh, we talked about it briefly.
Okay.
That's actually online, too.
Oh, great.
We didn't do a formal review, but we did bring it up, you know, because we didn't want the personal bias to you. You've been a guest host on the Island interview, so we did discuss it, and that episode is actually online, too.
So, Charlie, last question, really quick. Where are you going to be tomorrow night? What are you going to do?
At this point, I will be at home watching the Tonys, just sitting back and enjoying the thing I love the most, theater.
Well, what we love the most is talking to people who love and care about theater and can talk about it so smartly and so passionately. Charlie, always a joy having you in the neighborhood. Thank you again.
My pleasure.